Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today, I wanted to talk about a supplement that I've actually started taking recently. If you listened to the previous episode where I did some updates on my own health and healing journey, and what I want to talk about specifically is creatine. And specifically creatine supplementation in the context of long COVID, although we can probably extrapolate some of the information and things that we know about the benefits or potential benefits of creatine in long COVID to other complex fatigue cases as well. So the title of this episode is creatine supplementation beneficial for long COVID recovery? But even if you don't have a long COVID diagnosis, even if your fatigue was not initiated through a COVID infection, it may still very well be worth listening to this podcast. And so before we get into the show, I might just take a moment to ask you to rate the show or to leave a review. If you can leave me a 5-star rating on Spotify or iTunes, or even just take the time to write the little paragraph, that would be greatly appreciated. Your reviews help other people find the podcast. It helps improve the podcast ratings, and therefore people can find the information that can potentially be really, really helpful for their own journey. So if you haven't already done that, maybe take a moment to do that now. And then we'll go into today's episode, which is going to be a bit more practical and factual and a bit science-y. So if that's not where your head is today, maybe listen to one of the other episodes. But we'll be talking about creatine and long COVID. You probably already know by now that long COVID refers to a condition where individuals experience a range of symptoms that can continue for weeks or months or years after the initial COVID infection. And symptoms can continue over time, and they can fluctuate over time and may include but not be limited to things like fatigue, shortness of breath, chest pain, joint pain, and cognitive difficulties, often described as brain fog. Some individuals may also experience ongoing inflammation or changes affecting multiple body systems. Long COVID can affect people of all ages, regardless of the severity of their initial infection, and the exact mechanisms and duration can vary widely from person to person. This can make it feel really confusing. It can make it feel really unpredictable. And as research into long COVID evolves, there is growing interest in interventions that may support energy production, cognitive function, and recovery capacity. And so that's really what I wanted to talk about today, is I wanted to talk about creatine specifically and its role in energy production, its role in cognitive function, and maybe managing or modulating the immune response in the body. But before we go into all of that, let's just back up a few steps and talk a little bit about what is creatine. Creatine is a naturally occurring compound found in small amounts in certain foods, and it's also synthesized by the body primarily within our muscle tissue. It plays an important role in how the body produces and rapidly recycles energy at a cellular level. Specifically, creatine is involved in the adenosine triphosphate phosphocreatine, or ATP-PC, energy system, which is our short-term energy system that helps to provide quick bursts of energy during periods of increased physical or cognitive demands. So when I did my sports science degree many years ago, we were told you use this ATP-PC system would be dominant if you were to do a 10-second sprint. It's not necessarily going to be dominant if you're doing a 5-minute jog. Supplementing with creatine has been shown to increase the body's stores of phosphocreatine, which then supports the regeneration of ATP, often referred to as the primary energy currency of the cell. In sports and exercise research, creatine supplementation has been associated with improvements in strength and power output and exercise performance in some populations. However, beyond athletic performance, creatine is also being investigated for its potential role in muscle recovery, cognitive function, and cellular resilience. And because fatigue and reduced energy capacity are such prominent features of long COVID, researchers are increasingly exploring interventions that may support cellular energy production and these recovery processes. And anecdotally, I am seeing with clients and just with people on social media, I'm hearing positive feedback around the use of creatine in fatigue recovery generally and long COVID more specifically. But that said, the actual research in this area is limited and emerging. And that's what we always find. You know, people are out there trying things, but the research kind of needs to catch up with what people are doing. And so the main purpose of today is just to explore the current evidence, the possible potential mechanisms, and just practical considerations around creatine supplementation in non-COVID. So creatine is one of the most researched performance supplements in the sporting world. I think I already said I did a sports science degree. I also did a master's in personalized nutrition. And one of the modules in my master's degree was sports nutrition. So, you know, I even remember when I did that, you know, being told that creatine has got the most evidence behind it. If you give anyone anything, give them creatine. However, now, interest in creatine, as I said, now is now expanding beyond, you know, just the sports realms. And now we're looking at more how it could potentially be something that is useful because it does have these neuroprotective benefits. It might be helpful in modulating the immune system. It might be have various antioxidant effects. Maybe it's also helpful for people with chronic complex fatigue conditions, not just sports people, because these conditions involve fatigue, they involve inflammation, they involve altered energy metabolism. And I will die on this hill, but I've always said is like chronic fatigue recovery is like being, it's like being a professional athlete, just on a micro scale. So a professional athlete has to, you know, basically they eat, sleep, rest, train, recover. And their whole life is really designed around optimizing all these aspects of their health so that they can perform at a high level. And if you're recovering from a chronic complex illness, you do the same. You need to eat really well. You need to rest really well. You need to sleep really well. You need to pace really well. You need to give yourself the appropriate amount of stimulation, i.e. your training, and then you need to recover from that. And you do it again and again and again and again. And little by little, your fitness improves or your capacity improves, just like we would see with a professional athlete. So let's dive in and look at some of the potential mechanisms that may be involved when we look at the role of creatine and long COVID. So the exact mechanisms behind creatine's potential neuroeffective effects are still being explored. One proposed mechanism is its role in supporting cellular energy metabolism, particularly in tissues with high energy demand, such as the brain. Because neurons require a significant amount of energy to function optimally, researchers are investigating whether creatine may help support cognitive resilience and reduce the impact of cellular energy depletion. Then when it comes to immune modulation, creatine's role in modulating the immune system is an area of ongoing research, and the exact mechanisms are not fully understood. However, some studies suggest that creatine may have immunomodulatory effects. It modulates the immune system, which means it can influence the functioning of the immune system. Here are some potential ways in which it does that, and this is a little bit sciencey, but I know some people really do appreciate that. So creatine has been shown in some studies to have anti-inflammatory effects. It may help reduce the production of pro-inflammatory molecules, which play a role in various immune responses. Some research has indicated that creatine supplementation may enhance T-cell function, potentially improving immune defense mechanisms. Creatine may act as an antioxidant, helping reduce oxidative stress. This can be beneficial for immune cells, as excessive oxidative stress can impair immune function. immune cells require energy to carry out their functions. Creatine's role in ATP regeneration may indirectly support the ability to energize immune cells and therefore support the immune cell activity. Some studies suggest that creatine may influence the production and release of certain cytokines, which potentially affects immune function. And then some preliminary research suggests that creatine supplementation may have a positive impact on autoimmune conditions, although more research is needed in this area. So we've talked through neuroprotection, we've talked through immune modulation, and then let's talk about antioxidant activity. Creatine has been investigated for its potential antioxidant properties. So oxidative stress is something which occurs when there is an imbalance between free radicals and the body's ability to neutralize them, which may then contribute to cellular damage, and this can also cause fatigue-related symptoms. So creatine can directly neutralize harmful reactive oxygen species and free radicals. And this is important because excess reactive oxygen species can lead to oxidative stress, and that damages cells and damages tissues, and then they just don't work as well. Creatine has been shown to regenerate another important antioxidant, glutathione. Glutathione is a potent cellular antioxidant that helps play a role in protecting cells from oxidative damage. Creatine can bind to transition metal ions like iron and copper, which are involved in generating harmful free radicals in the body when in excess. Obviously, we do need a certain amount of iron. We do need certain amounts of copper. And by sequestering these ions, creatine can help them, can prevent them from contributing to oxidative stress in the body. Creatine may help maintain proper function of the mitochondria, which are, or you probably already know by now, the cellular structures responsible for energy production. When mitochondria are functioning optimally, they produce fewer free radicals and therefore reduces oxidative stress. By supporting the regeneration of ATP, creatine helps to ensure that cells have a sufficient energy supply, and this can indirectly reduce oxidative stress by preventing energy depletion-related damage. And then finally, creatine may help protect cell membranes from lipid peroxidation, a process where free radicals attack and damage lipids and cell membranes. And this ultimately affects the cell's function, and it's a common consequence of oxidative stress. So these proposed mechanisms are still all being researched, but they may help to explain why creatine is generating interest in conditions such as fatigue, cognitive symptoms, and altered energy metabolism. So let's look at the science behind creatine and long COVID specifically. To date, there is little research on creatine and long COVID. However, one study showed that patients with post-COVID-19 syndrome supplemented with 4 grams of creatine monohydrate per day. The participants showed an increase in brain and muscle creatine, and a total increase in these levels across 3 and 6 months. The increase was significant when compared to the placebo group. The increase in tissue levels was also associated with a reduction in symptoms, a reduction in fatigue, improved symptoms such as body aches, headaches, breathing difficulties, and difficulty concentrating. The sample size of the study was small, but given that creatine is safe and affordable, it's a safe and affordable intervention, the results are promising. Then additionally, a recent study found the total creatine concentration in skeletal muscle and the brain of long COVID patients were significantly lower when compared to reference values from the general population. Although this does not establish causation, so correlation doesn't establish causation, it has increased interest in whether altered creatine metabolism may play a role in fatigue-related symptoms and reduced energy capacity. Overall, the current evidence remains preliminary. However, these findings suggest that creatine may have potential as part of a broader individualized support approach for people experiencing long COVID. In other words, you can't just supplement with creatine and expect that all your long COVID symptoms may completely go away. When we're working with chronic complex health conditions, there's never usually a magic bullet, or there's very seldom a magic bullet. Often what we find is we need to do several different things synergistically, and as we do so, this helps to raise all the ships at once. So in the case of creatine supplementation, it's fairly safe, it's fairly cheap to supplement, and therefore, provided that you have some of those other foundations that are necessary in place, it might be something worth considering under the recommendation of an appropriately trained practitioner. So the next thing to go through is creatine and muscle function in long COVID. Creatine is being explored for its potential role in supporting muscle function and cellular energy production. Because creatine helps regenerate adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, researchers are interested in whether it may help support physical capacity and muscular energy available in fatigue-related conditions. In sports and exercise research, creatine supplementation has been associated with improvements in muscle strength, exercise performance, and recovery in some populations. So researchers are now investigating whether some of these mechanisms may have relevance in long COVID. Creatine has been studied for its potential role in muscle recovery, oxidative stress, cellular resilience following physical exertion. Importantly, this does not mean that individuals with long COVID should push beyond their energy limits or attempt to exercise, you know, to the point of post-exertional malaise. And obviously, post-exertional malaise is a complex physiological response, and careful pacing remains an important part of symptom management. However, in some cases, supporting energy metabolism and recovery capacity may still be clinically relevant. It may help an individual to do a little bit more and build physical capacity in a titrated way. So creatine may help support muscle mass. It may also be particularly relevant where muscle fatigue and deconditioning or reduced physical capacity are present, specifically to support muscle mass in situations where reduced activity levels or prolonged illness have contributed to muscle wasting. So then, in addition to creatine and muscle function, we also want to talk about creatine and cognitive function. Because cognitive symptoms, often referred to as brain fog, are very common in people who experience long COVID. Researchers have also explored whether creatine may play a role in supporting brain energy metabolism and cognitive function. While creatine is often associated with muscle energy production, it is also involved in energy regulation within the brain. And creatine supplementation can increase phosphocreatine stores in brain tissue, which may help support cellular energy availability during periods of increased cognitive demand. Supporting cellular energy metabolism in the brain may be relevant for cognitive processes such as attention, memory, mental clarity, and concentration. Researchers have investigated creatine for its potential neuroprotective and antioxidant effects. Some evidence suggests it may help support neuronal resilience by reducing oxidative stress and protecting against cellular energy depletion. Creatine may also influence inflammatory processes that could contribute to cognitive symptoms in some individuals. And so these proposed mechanisms may be particularly relevant for people experiencing long COVID-related symptoms such as brain fog, reduced concentration, and mental fatigue. If you're a woman, you may also be interested to know that there might be some connection between our menstrual cycle or hormone levels and then how we use energy or how we respond to creatine. Recent research has explored how creatine metabolism and energy production may vary across the menstrual cycle. Some researchers have proposed that hormonal fluctuations, particularly changes in estrogen, may influence creatine metabolism and creatine kinase activity. In a typical menstrual cycle, estrogen levels peak around ovulation, and they remain relatively elevated during the luteal phase, which is the second half of the cycle, compared to the follicular phase. Emerging theories suggest that this may influence how some women respond to creatine supplementation at different points in the cycle, although the research in this area is still limited. So if you have a menstrual cycle and you are producing enough estrogen, you may notice subtle changes in your response to creatine supplementation across the month. In other words, you might find it more effective when estrogen is higher. But as with many aspects of physiology, there can be individual responses and individual considerations. It's not necessarily a given. So hopefully that creates a lot of reasons to perhaps consider trying creatine as part of your recovery regime. And again, I will say time and time again, is supplements are supplementary. So I would always recommend that somebody gets those basics, those foundational five in place first. And those are all the things that we cover in the Nurturing Resilience membership. So your nervous system, your pacing, your sleep, your blood sugar regulation, and managing inflammation in the body first and foremost, then you're much more likely to notice shifts and changes as you perhaps add some supplementation into your regime. So at the moment, there's no currently universally agreed dosing protocol for creatine in long COVID specifically or other energy limiting conditions. And remember that individual responses can vary. In research and sports nutrition, creatine monohydrate is the most studied, as I've already said, and commonly used form of creatine. So typical approaches to dosing might look like potentially, and not necessarily, a loading phase. So some individuals choose to begin with a short loading phase to increase their creatine stores. And that's commonly some sort of loading protocol taking about 20 grams a day, maybe four or five doses of 4 or 5 grams in split doses across the day for maybe a week. However, the loading phase is not necessarily essential, and many people choose to skip this entirely. Where it might potentially be appropriate is if you have historically been a long-term vegan, vegetarian, avoided animal meat, or specifically red meat, or those foods which are high in creatine, it might actually help to do a loading dose. The caveat here is that a lot of people can be supplement sensitive, people react to supplements, and then overloading the body with too much of anything is often just not well received. So my personal preference in practice is just to be very conservative and go gently. If you're not interested in a loading dose, you could then just do a maintenance phase, which is usually would follow a loading phase, or you can just jump straight into this, which is typically taking between 3 to 5 grams daily. And a small study that was conducted on post-COVID-19 fatigue syndrome used a dosage of 4 grams daily over a 6-month period. So, you know, that's the research we have to date. Some people with long COVID or any CFS may be more sensitive to supplements or physiological changes. In this case, starting with a lower dose and increasing gradually may help assess tolerance. I sometimes recommend just starting with a gram. And then you want to make sure you're maintaining adequate hydration, which is really important when you're supplementing with creatine. While alternative forms of creatine exist, creatine monohydrate remains the form with the strongest evidence base, and it's generally the most widely studied. It's also really important to note that in individuals with long COVID and ME/CFS and complex chronic health conditions, sometimes certain individuals can be more sensitive to supplements and physiological changes. And so while supplements may offer support for some people, they are not universally tolerated and responses can vary significantly between individuals. So for this reason, it's important to start new things very cautiously and ideally under the guidance of a qualified healthcare professional who can help you understand your needs. They have an understanding of your health history and they have an understanding of if it's appropriate for you and how slowly you need to go. So my role here is to provide education, but this should not be considered personalized medical advice. In terms of food sources of creatine is naturally found in small amounts in various food sources, particularly animal products. So things which are the richest sources might be beef and other red meats, fish such as salmon, tuna, herring, or trout, poultry, including chicken and turkey, wild game meats such as venison, and smaller amounts can be found in some dairy products. While creatine can be obtained through diet, the amounts naturally present in food is generally lower than the dosages commonly used in supplementation studies. So cooking methods can also influence creatine content. For example, prolonged boiling tends to reduce levels more than roasting or grilling. Individuals following a vegetarian or vegan diet may have lower creatine stores due to their lower dietary intake. And some research suggests that these groups may notice more pronounced responses to creatine supplementation. And that is something that I have seen anecdotally in practice as well. So finally, what are the safety considerations? Generally, creatine is safe and well tolerated when used appropriately. However, there are some important considerations to be aware of. For example, individuals with pre-existing kidney conditions, those taking certain medications, or those with more complex health presentations should consult a qualified healthcare professional before beginning supplementation. Creatine can alter the fluid balance within muscle tissue, so you want to maintain adequate hydration, but it also might sometimes cause mild digestive symptoms such as bloating or gastrointestinal discomfort, particularly when starting the supplementation or when taking higher doses. And so beginning at a lower dose and increasing gradually is how we can potentially mitigate that. The quality of supplements matters. Choosing a reputable, well-tested creatine monohydrate supplement may help to reduce the risk of unnecessary additives or contaminants. Current evidence suggests creatine is generally well-tolerated in healthy populations when used appropriately, although please remember that research in people with long COVID and other chronic and complex illnesses does remain limited. So these individuals may also respond differently to supplements or the dosage changes, and we really want to introduce supplements cautiously and monitor individual responses as appropriate. So then finally, just to conclude, hopefully you've learned a lot about creatine today and just a better understanding of how it could potentially be helpful for you if you are someone experiencing long COVID and ME/CFS. I think I mentioned in the previous episode, it's something that I've recently started taking, mostly just for muscle recovery after exercise. But I would say anecdotally that I have also noticed some cognitive benefits, just a bit more brain energy straight after taking it, not necessarily for the whole day. But if I've got some cognitive work to do, if I haven't taken it around my training that day, then I might take it around cognitive challenge. So creatine is relatively affordable, generally well tolerated, and that's why it's generating interest in long COVID and fatigue-related conditions. While research specifically investigating creatine in long COVID remains limited, these early studies that I've touched on today suggest it may have potential to support areas which matter to us, energy metabolism, muscle function, cognitive function, all really important. However, as I've said already, do remember that these conditions are complex. They're highly individual, and no single supplement is likely to address every single thing that's going on for you. Recovery and symptom management often requires a broader, more personalized approach, which considers multiple different things. Like I've stated already, this foundational five, which we cover in the nervous system membership and the nurturing resilience subscription. So the nervous system, pacing, sleep, managing inflammation generally, and blood sugar balance. So responses to creatine may also vary between individuals. As I said, anecdotally, I do seem to find that those people who have had historically a lower protein diet seem to respond better because there's a deficit there. And there might also be changes depending on where you are in your menstrual cycle if you're a cycling woman. So as with any intervention, we want to introduce supplements cautiously, slowly, and perhaps work with someone who can advise us to prevent any unnecessary reactions. So I will also just link with the show notes some of the research papers that I used to pull together everything for today. But I hope that has been insightful and informative for you, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.